Thank you, Lord, for that encouraging word. And I pray, Father, that the walls would come down in each one of our lives. Those walls, those barriers that separate us from having that relationship with you that we need to. And Father, as we have read in your scriptures how Joshua in the scriptures commanded the children of Israel to march around Jericho 7 times and the last time give a shout and those walls would come down, Lord. Let us all stand and give a shout that the walls would come down. In the name of Yeshua, let all those walls come down. Let every wall come down in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The walls are coming down. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The walls are down. Rush through, O Lord, into our lives. In the name of Yeshua. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O God. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The message I'm going to share on today is called Times of Encounter. Times of Encounter. And this goes along with the portion that's read on this week known as Parshat Emor from Leviticus 21:1 through 24:23. And let me read something for you. This is from the Art Scroll Siddur, which is a prayer book, Jewish prayer book. And it says this, "And you gave us, Hashem, our God, with love appointed feasts for gladness, festivals and times for joy. For you have chosen us and you have sanctified us above all the peoples of the world, and your holy festivals in gladness and joy you have granted us as a heritage. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies Israel and the festive seasons." Now, why do I share that today? Because this portion from Emor, the Torah portion from this week, deals with God's appointed times. Times of the year that God sets aside and tells us that we are to meet with Him. Now, we are to meet with God every day. And if you're not meeting with God every day, you're in trouble. Because you need every single day to be spending time with the Lord, meeting the Lord. Every day should be times of rejoicing, festivals of rejoicing in your life as you spend time with the Lord. It's so important. The book of Leviticus opened up with Adonai's call, the Lord's call to Moses, out of what's known as the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, which is the focal point of the final chapters that we see in the book of Exodus. And then most of the whole book of Exodus deals with how to meet with God, how to approach God, how to come before God in reverence and in holiness, with right relationship. Now we come to what's the area from Leviticus chapter 23. And in Leviticus 23, it tells us about all these appointed times, these Moedim, times that God wants us to meet with Him. So this whole section now focuses to those special appointed feasts of the Lord and times that God wants us to meet with Him. But the focus shifted from the Ohel Moed, that tent of meeting, to times of meeting with God. And we see that Israel encounters the divine not only in that tent, but also in the various seasons of the year. And throughout the year, these seasons. We're currently in the counting of the Omer. We're counting. Just as Yeshua's disciples, they were counting. Yeshua told them, wait for me in Jerusalem. And they were waiting. And during that time of waiting and counting the Omer, counting those 50 days, day after day counting, they didn't know exactly what was going to take place. They didn't understand completely what Yeshua said. Wait for me. Wait for me. Why, Lord? Why are we waiting for you? What's going to happen, Lord? They didn't understand. But they were all gathered together in what believe is this upper room in Jerusalem. Maybe the room where they had shared the original Passover together with the Messiah. And it talks about this strange encounter with God that took place. And it talks about the mighty rushing wind. The Spirit of God was rushing in. And tongues of fire lighting upon them. And then the speaking in the other tongues or languages unknown. God did a supernatural, miraculous thing. He met with them in a special way. We're counting towards Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, known in English as Pentecost. We're counting to it. We counted earlier. And we should also be expecting and also believing that God will do something special in our lives as well and in the congregation as well as we reach that time of Shavuot, Pentecost. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with you or even with me. But with eyes of faith, we need to believe and trust God that as we meet with Him at this appointed time, that God is going to come in like a mighty rushing wind and blow His breath upon us. And I pray, as Joshua was saying, the areas of my life that still are there that I haven't broken through or chiseled down, that those walls would come down, and just like on Shavuot, Pentecost, that mighty rushing ruach, God's breath would rush into me and that I wouldn't be the same. Because you know what? I don't really like the same. I don't like the way I am in a lot of ways. I want to be different. I want to be changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And these appointed festivals, these appointed times of God, give us insight into the meaning of what's known as Tikkun Olam, the restoring of the world. And I'm believing that when Yeshua comes back, it's for Tikkun Olam, for the restoring of a broken world. The tent of meeting that we saw in Exodus and in Leviticus in this context is another name for the Mishkan or the tabernacle, which is a model of the restored ideal creation. Jewish law sees a parallel between God's work of creation and the work of building that Mishkan, the building of the tabernacle, and derives from the parallel. From this parallel, the ruling that the 39 categories of work in building the tabernacle are the categories of work forbidden on the Shabbat. And just as God abstained from the original work on creation on Shabbat, so Israel was to abstain from the work of recreation on the Shabbat and to rest from building the tabernacle, which models the restored creation. So the tabernacle, this Ohel Moed, therefore, is a symbol of the restoration in the midst of the camp of Israel. In the same way, these festivals, these Moedim, these appointed times of God are moments of restoration in the midst of the ordinary days of the calendar. Times that we can be restored and refreshed and renewed. And these festivals have three levels of meeting. Each marks a stage in the agricultural cycle of the land of Israel. Each has an historical connection with the departure from Egypt, and each has a prophetic meaning connected to the life and the ministry of Messiah Yeshua, including his return at the end of the age. As I've told you the last couple of weeks, I've been listening to the book of Revelation. I have it on MP3, listening to my car as I'm driving. I've been telling you last few weeks that I'm still listening to it. I've been listening to it for the last 3 weeks or more. Every day, every morning I'm listening to it. This is my fourth time that I'm listening through it. And God is beginning to speak to me more and more. And I'm praying, helping me to understand and see what all these events surrounding the end times really means. Now I have to admit, I keep hearing and I keep listening and I don't understand it all. There's so much of the book of Revelation to understand. I don't know if I'll ever be able to understand the fullness of it, the total significance of what's in there. But I want God to open my eyes and my ears and my heart and help me to, for myself and for my family, for all of us to be prepared for the events that are going to take place. And as I listen to it, and I hear about the peals of thunder, the bolts, the lightning, the one-third of the people dying, the waters turned to bitter, and the people dying, and all the wrath of God upon the wicked of the world, these are frightening and scary things. But for us who are believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, these should not be scary things. These are things that are going to come. Things that we need to be telling people about. Things that we need to be prepared for. Don't fear, but be ready and be prepared for the return of the Lord. Because it's coming soon. I don't know when. But boy, as I look at the world today, and this is an ugly world that we live in. I mean, no matter what you say, however you want to paint it, it's an ugly world, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. But we can be a light in the midst of the darkness so that we can help bring light to others and touch other people's lives. That's why I say every week, bring someone with you to the synagogue. Do you know anybody who's not saved? Do you have any friends that don't know the Lord? Do you have any relatives that live around you that are refusing to believe? Well, what are you doing about it? Bring them into the house of God that they may hear, that they may learn, that their lives might be changed. It's not just up to me to stand up here and tell you these things. You can't depend on someone else to reach your family. You have to do it. You have to be working. You have to be plowing the field. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Each festival of this Moedim, these appointed times, enacts Tikkun Olam, the conditions that will be realized when Messiah Yeshua comes. In celebrating these Moedim, these festivals, we declare in advance the times of restoration of all things, like it says in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 21, the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. Yeshua did not come to destroy the world, but to restore the world, to turn it back side, turn it around, turn it the way it should be. That word Moedim, which we know as the appointed time or the festivals of the Lord, first appears in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. We read, "Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons." Moedim, seasons. From the beginning of creation, the Lord all ordained holy times to remind us for all generations of the original integrity of the creation and of God's purpose of renewing the creation. And in this portion today from the Torah and more, which you can see on your bulletins today, Shabbat precedes all the lists of festivals. That's the first one mentioned in Leviticus 23. Because it's a memorial or reminder of God's creation. God is reminding us every single week of His creation. When God made this world, it was perfect. Wasn't anything wrong with it. When He made Adam, Adam was perfect. Adam had no sin. God formed him from the dust of the earth. He breathed the ruach, His breath, His spirit into him, and he became alive. He took Chava, He took Eve from the side of Adam. They were without sin. But the world has since then turned around. As soon as the story of Adam and Eve is finished, we see Cain kills Abel. We see more killing in the world, just getting worse and worse. We see how God has to separate the peoples of the earth during the time of the Tower of Babel because they sought to become gods themselves and reach heaven. And God got to the point where this world was so wicked that He had to flood it and destroy it. Yet He allowed 8 people to live. Noah and his wife and children and their wives. But this world is still needing to be rebirthed, needing to be restored. There's no longer a sacrificial system. That's all been wiped away. Yeshua, as the Lamb of God, became the ultimate sacrifice. And through Him, we have eternal life. But it needs to be more than just us. It needs to be everyone. And we need to do our part in that. In Exodus 31, verse 17, we read about the Shabbat. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel forever. We read this every week. Every week we read this during the liturgy. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel forever. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth, but on the 7th day He stopped working and He rested. And on Shabbat, we also look forward to the day that will be all Shabbat. Jewish people believe that there will be a day that will be all Shabbat. In other words, every day will be Shabbat. Every day will be a day of restoration and in the presence of God and enjoying being with the Lord. When the goodness of creation will be restored and humankind will at last be at rest within themselves. But you know, all these festivals, every festival partakes of this prophetic quality of Shabbat. So we're told also on Shavuot that's coming up, as we're counting toward it. It says in Leviticus 23, verse 22, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap to the furthest corners of the field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Rather, you are to leave them for the poor and for the outsider. I am the Lord your God." Moses has already given the instruction in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 10, dealing with how we should love our neighbor as ourself. God wants us to love our neighbor. What's the best way to love your neighbor? My wife here, she is the best love your neighbor person that I know in the whole world. Where we live, she goes and talks to every single person that she meets, walks past, comes across in the little gym there. No matter anywhere, she loves her neighbor as herself and shares the good news with everybody. She's amazing. I wish I had the chutzpah The chutzpah is, you know what chutzpah is? It's the what? You know, the guts and the, what's the word you say in Spanish? There's a word. Huh? Irene. Like, ganas or what is it? I can't, yeah. There's a word you used to, huh? Is that what it is? Okay. Anyway, whatever it is, she's got it. And I want more of it. I want all of us here to have more and more and more of it. Thank you, Lord. God wants us to love our neighbor. Because the poor and the maybe the unlovely, and they also have a rightful share in the kingdom to come. They have a share in the harvest. Thank you, Lord. In that age to come, the divine image of God will be restored in every human being. And Shavuot anticipates the conditions of that age, when there'll be no more hungry, no more poor, no one will be a stranger, but we'll all share in the abundance of the Lord. You know, Shavuot, that we're coming to also, is an anniversary of the giving of the Word of God, the Torah, on Mount Sinai, which also was a restoration of divine order. It all has to do with restoring God's divine order. On that Shavuot, following the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah Yeshua poured out that Ruach HaKodesh, as I mentioned, upon all of his fathers gathered in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, he poured out this which you now see and hear." He poured it out. And this outpouring anticipated the age to come, when the Ruach, the Spirit of God, would be abundantly available to all, to young and old, male and female, Jew and Gentile. As it says in Isaiah 11:9, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Thank you, Lord. And when the Ruach, that Spirit of God, was poured out on Shavuot, says there were Jews present, devout men from every nation under heaven, it says in Acts 2:5. And as members of the priestly nation Israel, constituted on Mount Sinai at an earlier Shavuot, these Jewish men were representatives of all the nations of the world, which will partake of the Spirit in the age to come. The infilling of the Spirit is not primarily an individual experience of divine power, but a share in the power of the age to come, already present through the Messiah Yeshua. It's there. It's already present. It's available for each and every one of us. In the same way, the instructions for another festival, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacle, includes this from Deuteronomy 16:14. "And you shall rejoice in your festival, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates." And on this day of joy, all were to be included in the rejoicing. The conditions of this age, servanthood, poverty, bereavement, alienation, are all overcome by the abundant joy that's going to come in the age to come. These Moedim, these appointed times of God, remind us that the God of Israel desires to meet with us. God wants to meet with us. And to make it even easier, He sets certain times. He sets appointments with us. That's why it's called the appointed times. God makes an appointment. Now on my phone I have a calendar. I use Google Calendar. I have every single one of my appointments on. Everything, every doctor appointment, dental appointment, any meeting with anybody, everything, birthday, every anniversary, everything you can imagine. I've got hundreds of things in my calendar. But even so, it's easy for us to forget. So God says, okay, maybe it's hard for you to meet with me, you forget. Okay, I'm setting these times, I'm setting an appointment with you. Louis, God is saying, I haven't seen you in a while. I'm just example, all right? So I miss you. I'm going to make an appointment with you at this time so that you can experience the fullness of God's love in your life. God sends these times for us. He desires to meet with us and provides us meeting times. The elaborate preparations for the tabernacle and the demanding sacrificial ritual connected to it were not designed to keep Israel at a distance, but to draw Israel near to God. Likewise, God provides the festivals for us to continually, year after year, get closer and closer to Him. Every such divine encounter restores the original intent of the creation. When the Lord walked with us side by side in the garden in the cool of the day. And God desires to walk with us. We can't get ahead of God. We can't get behind God. Yes, we need to follow God, but we need to be walking with God. I can only imagine how it was in Gan Eden, in Garden of Eden. There was God would walk and talk with Adam. It's hard to even imagine. And maybe Adam would get a little tired and just sit down, and God would be there, and Adam would just put his little kepi, his little head on God and just fall asleep in the arms of God. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. In the messianic age to come, we will be fully restored to the Lord through Yeshua the Messiah. But even in this age, the meeting with God is a restoration of God's original intent that was in the creation itself. As I said, I've been reading from Revelation, and turn with me to Revelation 21, 3 through 7. I'll try to wrap this up shortly here, if that's okay with you, Bob. Okay. Revelation 21, 3 through 7. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "See, God's Shekhinah, God's glory, is with mankind, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and He Himself, God with them, will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, and there will be no longer be any mourning, crying, or pain, because the old order has passed away." Then the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Also he said, "Write, these words are true and they are trustworthy." And he said to me, "It is done. It is finished. I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I myself will give water free of charge from the fountain of life. He who wins the victory will receive these things. For I will be his God and he will be my son." These are the things that we have to look forward to. I don't fear the things that are yet to come. When we read, it may seem scary sometimes. But if you're following God and you love Him with all your heart and He's number one in your life, He's going to give you from the fountain of life. Wipe away every tear. Fill you with joy. It's going to be a wonderful time. And as I was listening, I keep hearing where it talks about all the creatures and the angels around the throne proclaiming continually, day and night, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Tzevaot, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Thank you, Lord. This is what you're going to be doing You're not going to be thinking of other things, caring of other things. You're going to be proclaiming your love to God continually. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, each one of these festivals not only pictures age to come, but it invites us to bring the powers and the conditions of the age to come into this age. God wants us to bring the powers and the conditions of the age to come into this age that we're in now. We can break through those walls, people. Tear down those walls and let the power of God come into our midst so we can get a taste of the age to come. Thank you, Lord. In this spirit, we continue to pray through the county of the Omer till we reach Shavuot. And I pray, and it's my prayer, that each one of us would experience a foretaste of restoration in our own lives and in our congregation and throughout the whole body of the Messiah. And I pray a rebirth for the whole household of Israel. That as Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, said in Romans 11, then all Israel shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, Lord, it is such a privilege to be here. Such an honor here to be in your presence, O God. Help us not to take it lightly. Let us see that this is just a foretaste of the Messianic era, the times to come. And Lord, I do pray that we...